Hi there, and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's program for May the 3rd. I'm Veronica DeVorenburn. How would you like to get the equivalent of $34,000 a year, paid to you by the government, with no strings attached?
It's for everybody, even if you are a child or old people, lifelong.
That was artist Enno Schmidt, who launched the so-called Basic Income Initiative in Switzerland, which the Swiss will vote on in the coming years. It will be the first time the question of a basic income has ever been put before the people, anywhere in the world. But why go so far to introduce a basic income when Switzerland doesn't even have a minimum wage? No fans of half measures, the Swiss will vote on May 18th whether to introduce the highest minimum wage in the world. We'll come back to that later in the program. When I talked to Schmidt in our Bern studios, he explained the basic income he proposes of 30,000 Swiss francs, or $34,000 per person per year, won't make everyone rich.
But I have to say first, this number, 30,000 francs, it's quickly that the people exchange this in their currency. But the conversion rate is not the currency, but the purchasing power. And this number of, we suggest, 2,500 francs a month by adults is just a suggestion. It's not the fixed number. This is a democratic process to find out what is enough to live from. The principle is that everybody has to be this possibility to be free by the amount of livelihood, that this is sure. This is given for free. This is given to live. It's not payment. It's not to be paid to do nothing or something else, but it is to live free, to have more freedom for your own decision, how you want to lead your life.
How did you come by this idea? How did you develop the concept that this would be a good model for Switzerland?
For me personally, I can say I'm an artist. I worked as a painter, and that was successful in the way I want to have it successful. And then I went to enterprises to have a look, what is the art in enterprises, in economy? And then what is the art by handling with money in banks? And I was in enterprises and banks and foundations to look how this runs, how it works out. And for me, the experience is that there are so many will and possibilities, abilities for new projects, new ideas, what you work, but there's not enough money. And that it's necessary to come out from this compulsion, this in a way to be so strictly bounded by work market, and to be more freed, more flexible, to do the things who are really necessary, and you yourself find that it's necessary and meaningful for yourself.
So what would that mean for the work economy here in Switzerland? Would people continue to get up and go to work?
This is one central question. And I like to say, ask you yourself what you will do if you have this free amount to live on. Most of the people I ask this question say, oh, I would like to work further on. It's the right place where I'm working, but maybe a bit with a bit less stress, with maybe one day more free to carry to my children, to have a look to my family. I guess that will bring more responsibility, more freedom, more space for your own responsibility, to have more balance between family and social processes and your work. And this makes the people stronger. And I think it brings more motivation because you realize more than today that you act by yourself, by your own will and meaning.
I asked Schmidt about what would happen to the lowest perceived jobs on the societal ladder if everyone got a basic income. Would anyone want to do them anymore? He calls such jobs dirty jobs because of the way they're often viewed.
It's not that these jobs are dirty because it's the job is so dirty, because it's dirty because we look to it like a dirty job. And we look to the people like they are dirty, they are not valuable. But this work is very valuable and we can pay it better. Today, for example, it's not valuable to do such simple jobs, even if they are very important for the society. And on the other hand, you have jobs who are not very important for the society, but highly paid. And I think this becomes more in a balance with an unconditional basic income because it makes the people more strong to have this basis for negotiation.
Outside of Europe, in a couple of places, this model has been tried on a smaller scale, in Canada, for example, and also in Namibia. What came out of those experiments?
For example, in this experience in Canada, younger people stopped working for nearly nothing and started to educate so that they can have better jobs. And in Namibia, for example, it was that mainly the women started small enterprises, entrepreneurial projects, and the people become more free to act by themselves.
To me, it seemed like a basic income would just make things even more expensive in already pricey Switzerland because everyone would have more money to spend, pushing prices up. But Schmidt thinks it will have the opposite effect because wages would actually go down. The basic income would cover some of people's needs, so employers would cover a smaller amount than they do now. Schmidt explained that philosophy and how he thinks the basic income could be paid for by increasing the sales tax or value-added tax.
The model could be to say if an unconditional basic income is paid to the people, then wages and salaries can sink. Then prices can sink because the production is more cheap, because the costs of work are cheaper. It supports human work. And if the prices becomes cheaper, you can put on the prices a tax for unconditional basic income in the way like value-added taxes are. Approximately, the prices remain the same, and approximately, the incomes remain the same.
The actual text of the Basic Income Initiative doesn't specify an amount to be paid to each person or how it will be funded. It tasks the government with figuring out the details. 30,000 francs is an estimate of what would be needed. Schmidt admits the Basic Income Initiative probably won't pass when it comes to a vote. But he thinks the effort is worth it for the discussions it's launched around the world, and that Switzerland is the ideal place to try it.
I realize that it is another direction and movement to come out from Switzerland with this kind of vision, a social vision. There is no one else in the world in the moment. It's only small parts to handle a bit. But this is a big thought, and it makes you more free and more. It gives you a new perspective to look to the things. And this comes out from Switzerland because here we have a direct democracy. And this, for example, is a model for the world too. It is too less democracy. Democracy is going down, from my experience, in the world. The people are on the streets, but they have nothing to say. So it can be that we have in this modern time in which the people are more acting with each other all over the world, that this become a worldwide movement, and Switzerland is the source of this because of this freedom what we have by democracy.
On May 18th, the Swiss will vote on a question that seems linked to basic income, whether to introduce a minimum wage. But Schmidt says they're not at all the same idea.
Minimum income is more or less a very old thought to save the poor people, to give them a better position by the state. It's not modern. It's not our times. This is an idea. It's 100 years old. It is very understandable. That is justice. That is right and all this stuff. But it's not today.
That was Enno Schmidt behind the initiative to give every Swiss citizen a minimum basic income. 27-year-old Chris Kelly is an American who moved to Switzerland at the age of 12 and now works at Unia, Switzerland's largest trade union. Unlike Schmidt, he thinks a minimum wage is what the Swiss need, not a basic income.
I'm sure that the initiators meant well, but what they basically did with their initiative in its current form, the way that it's phrased, was to create a rather dangerous potential boomerang, if you will, which actually might end up reducing the standard of living for people while simultaneously doing away with the social securities that already exist in Switzerland. And that's basically because there's no precise amount detailed anywhere. Nowhere in the initiative does it say you get 1,000 francs, you get 2,000 francs, nothing. Furthermore, there's no concept as to where the money, where it should come from. the money. There's no financial concept. And so basically it would probably end up being funded by sales taxes, which would in the end, again, burden the very people that it proposes to help, namely people with lower and middle incomes.
On May 1st, which is Labor Day in Switzerland, Kelly was out rallying support for the initiative to pay every Swiss worker a minimum of 22 francs an hour. That's 4,000 francs a month. That would be the highest minimum wage anywhere in the world. I talked to him about why he thinks this is the right way forward for Switzerland.
Basically, what we're trying to do is establish something that's taken for granted in most countries of the world, namely a minimum wage. Currently, there is no minimum wage in Switzerland unless there's a union contract. And reality shows that Switzerland badly needs a minimum wage. There are around 330,000 people in the country working in low-wage jobs. That's about 10% of the workforce. Some of those people are even dependent on welfare, despite the fact that they work full-time. So basically meaning their wages don't even cover a really minimum standard of living. And our minimum wage changes that and makes it possible for working people to live off the wages they get. And it also protects the wages of people with average wages because it basically creates a security net that you can't fall through, which is important in times when decent wages are increasingly under pressure.
There are a lot of restaurant owners, business owners who suggest that if this were to go into place, they would actually have to fire workers because they could no longer afford to keep everyone on at that wage. What do you say to that? And do you think that there will be pressure on prices and jobs when this is all said and done, if it does pass?
Where there are already minimum wages in Switzerland, for example, in collective contracts, which are negotiated by the unions, there's absolutely no problem whatsoever with unemployment. And you mentioned the restaurants before. There is a collective contract for restaurants, and the minimum wages there have risen in the last 10 years by 50%. Unemployment actually didn't go up, quite the opposite, it even went back. And also internationally looking at countries with minimum wages, there's simply no correlation between minimum wage and unemployment.
Critics of a minimum wage also say it would put Switzerland's successful apprenticeship career training system in jeopardy. They think young people would just get minimum wage jobs instead of lower paying apprenticeships. But Kelly disagrees.
When I talk to young people, they don't really understand that argument, because most of the people that I talk to basically say, well, for one, 4,000 francs actually isn't that much. I mean, that's the bare minimum. You can't really live a great life off of 4,000 francs. Also with the apprentices themselves, if you look at their income later, like for example, hairdressers, gardeners, etc. I mean, these are all people, they do a 3-year apprenticeship, they work hard. They work long hours. Even after years of experience, they still earn less than 4,000 francs.
Initial polling results don't look promising for the approval of the minimum wage. As of April 11th, just 40% of voters said they would support it, with 52% against and 8 undecided. Cabinet has officially recommended voting against the minimum wage initiative, as Economics Minister Johann Schneider-Ammann explains.
This initiative would bring about a nationwide minimum wage across all professions, which would make for a very rigid system. We would risk losing competitiveness and jobs as a result.
Visit swissinfo.ch to explore our coverage of both the minimum wage and basic income questions. And stay tuned for complete coverage of the May 18th vote. That's all we have time for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica DeVore in Bern.